Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Utah Liberty Talk. This is David, TR for Freedom. I hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are having a good time in your lives. Hope you guys are preparing for, what we're seeing in the world. Hopefully you guys are able to handle the news that's been going on. Everything seems to be getting crazier. Maybe that's because I'm paying more attention. I'm not sure. Maybe that's how this stuff is supposed to work. This is episode 9 of Utah Liberty Talk. Just a little update for you guys on political dysfunction. Me and Hunter got our first episode out on YouTube. I was debating putting this one on YouTube, but I went ahead and decided not to. I think that's something I'm going to save for when I have guests on the show. I think it's kind of boring for me to put something on YouTube if it's just me talking. Not to mention, it'll probably be taken down anyways, so I might as well save my strikes for more important videos. You guys don't really care to look at me talk anyways. So I'm going to go ahead and not do it on YouTube unless I've got a guest, but I'm going to work on getting my guests' videos over on YouTube. With that being said, though, Political Dysfunction, our first YouTube episode, which is the same as our regular episodes, but we recorded our faces as we did it. We had nice little backgrounds behind us. But that's up on YouTube now, so you guys can go ahead and check that out. We finished our series on the war on drugs, and we've been doing this new thing with current events, and we'll basically talk about like one new current event, one new thing in the news for our new episodes, and we'll just kind of briefly discuss that for a few minutes on the Political Dysfunction episodes. Hunter's with the America We've Been Given. He's been doing a good job at that. But yeah, I hope you guys, if you guys are in school, hopefully you guys are getting prepared for that. I know that I am, as the summer's winding down. I'm trying to get everything buttoned down financially, preparing to work a little bit less, still working full time. If you're working full time and going to school full time, you're part of the crew of grinders. We got some respect out here. So, anyways, summer's winding down, so hopefully you guys had a good one. Now we're back to the grind in the school year, regular year, whatnot. Some of you don't stop the grind in the summer. I took the summer off of school. I'm not going to take next summer off, though. I want to get it done. I want to graduate sooner. I got a lot more schooling to go, so I'm trying to get it done as quick as possible. Another update for you guys on what's going on here at Utah Liberty Talk. Colton Todd, who I had on the show to talk with me about the police shootings and brutality, he is working on an article right now about why Latter-day Saints members should be libertarians/anarchists. So he's been working on that a lot. He's been using evidence from the holy doctrine of the LDS Church. So I will publish that on Utah Liberty Talk, because even though I am not LDS and I do believe in the separation of church and state, it can apply to many of my listeners here in the state of Utah, and I'm sure many people will find it interesting, which I will find it interesting as well. And then with myself, I'm currently working on, I might have talked about this on the show before, but I'm working on a protocol constitution, because you guys will hear me talk on the show about how I feel the constitution was a document that is given way more credit than it deserves. And the funny part is about it is I'll talk to people that say they love the constitution, and they'll say the Constitution protects our rights, and I'll give praise to the Bill of Rights. That's the best part of the Constitution. But the problem is that it took 10 years of fighting to get the Bill of Rights into the Constitution. So when people say that the Constitution protects us, I'll ask them, I'll say, other than the Bill of Rights, what part of the Constitution do you like? And I've never heard anyone give me an answer. They talk about the separation of government, which is nice. But I'll bring up specific incidences like Article 1, Section 2, I believe, where Congress is given implied powers. And that basically gives them a blank check to do whatever they need to fulfill their responsibilities. There are issues in the wording. So I'm working on my prototype constitution. And when I'm done with that, which hopefully should be the next episode, unless I get a guest on, which I'm kind of working on that. I'm not super rushing it, though. So we'll see what happens. But I'm going to be doing an episode here. Probably my next solo episode will be an analysis of my prototype constitution that I've been working on. So that's going to be probably somewhat of a longer episode. I can see it taking quite some time, but it is very interesting, especially if you're a fan of political theory. So I think that you guys might really enjoy that if you just enjoy political science in general. Maybe you have some ideas on how the government should be structured differently. I've worked a lot at changing. One of my big issues is the legislative process, so I've added some changes into that. And then I've also put some real teeth into this thing in terms of keeping government accountable. So it's going to be really interesting. I'm excited to go over it with you guys. And I would love the feedback on it. You guys know how I am. Any feedback too on any of these episodes I've been doing recently, send it my way. Got the Patreon going on, got the store, UtahLibertyTalk.com, got some articles out on there. So yeah, that's all going on. Okay, so we're going to move it on into the episode for today. And I'm actually going to talk about my experience at Young Americans for Liberty, YAL's Revolution 2021. Revolution 2021 is basically YAL's national convention. And they had it in Orlando, Florida this year. I paid for half my ticket. YAL covered pretty much everything else except for a couple of meals and my Ubers. But I got to tell you guys, it was a phenomenal experience. I had such a great time, and I'm going to go over some more of the details in a minute. But I do got to say, Florida, oh my gosh, as soon I hadn't been to Florida since I was like 5 years old, and I did not remember it very well. So I stepped outside in Florida, and like within 10 seconds, my hands were just wet and sticky, and I was like, what is happening to me? I thought that it was absolutely, I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck is happening? It was hard to breathe. We get this nice dry air up here in Utah. I don't know how people like the humidity like that. It feels like I'm trying to breathe in a sauna the whole time. It's quite brutal. And I was wearing like nice clothes, like my jacket, if I ever went outside. I was, wearing my suit. It just, oh, it was brutal. It was brutal. So that was an interesting observation about Florida. Lots of water in the area, which I would kind of surprise that area of the United States down there by the Gulf of Mexico, a lot of swampland, which I think is absolutely beautiful. I talked about this actually when I got back from my trip around the country and I went to Louisiana. I talked about it as a big swamp, and parts of Florida definitely reminded me of that. And particularly looking at the map of it, and I just see all of these different bodies of water. Very interesting. Very different from Utah. We have like two that are reservoirs, really. Actually, we got smaller lakes and stuff, but if you look at Utah, you'll see two main ones. This is it was very cool though. I get off the plane, take my Uber. YAL did this convention at the Gaylords in Orlando, which was a phenomenal resort. It was such a beautiful hotel. The lobby's nice, and then you walk into the hallway, if you will, but it's not really a hallway. It's this giant like courtyard in the middle of the hotel, and it's in this dome that's clear at the top. It's got windows, and they have like these rock structures that you can climb up, and they've got running water and I think real plants everywhere. I'm quite certain. Yeah, it must have been real plants. Real plants everywhere, and they even, kid you not, had baby gators and turtles in that water, which was absolutely crazy, I thought. And it was grand. It was beautiful. They had like a little waterfall there. My mind was blown. We don't have anything like that in Utah, so I thought it was really cool. Yao, I gotta say, the staff did amazing. They really went all out to make the convention absolutely fantastic. I had the coolest video that I took when I walked in the first night. I had cool roommates. It was a really cool deal. So get there, then I go to the what do you call it? It was not even really an opening ceremony. It was just kind of like where all the booths were for all these different institutions, and we kind of just got to go up and talk to them. And so I got a Economics in One Lesson by Hazlitt from the Mises Caucus, Libertarian Party. I talked to them a couple times. Then y'all ended up giving everyone free shirts. I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad that I didn't buy one that first day, because that night they ended up having goodie bags for us, and one of the things in there was a free shirt, which my washer screwed up. Not happy about that. It says "Print guns, not money." It's really cool, nice shirt. I like it a lot. I think it's sick. But so that night we go into the main ballroom, where they have the speakers that would usually, they had big speakers that everyone would listen to in that ballroom throughout the weekend. But they had the smoke machines going, and it was all retro. Have you ever seen like the OK Boomer meme? It's kind of like that style, but like the retro. I maybe not. I mean, there's OK Boomer ones. There's also OK Boomer other ones. But there's a retro meme format, okay? And I'm pretty sure the Yao was inspired by that. But they made it look really cool. There was these like purple and blue lights everywhere, and there was smoke machines, and they were playing "Smells Like Teen Spirit" by Nirvana when I walked in. So I got the coolest video as I was walking up. It was quite the scene. And they really went all out the whole time. They had great speakers. They had some great comedians there. It was really quite the experience. I gotta say, anyone who has ever debated going to an event like that, I definitely would suggest you end up doing something like that, because I don't know if it was just because of like COVID last year, but they really went all out, and they really like just hit it on the head. I mean, it was money. We had some really cool speakers there. Ron Paul ended up showing up. Tons of legislators that are part of the Hazlitt Coalition. Brandon Herrera. We had all sorts of cool guys like that there, and it was really quite the experience to get to see all these major liberty influencers speaking at these events. So the first night we had some great speakers, good MC. And they released us for the night, probably around 8:30-ish maybe. And then they had like lawn games set out for us, and we were up for a while, basically every night. Because why? Because we're having a good time. It was a great time. I can't stress this enough. It was a great time. Again, Yao did such a phenomenal job. And they had free ice cream sandwiches and stuff like that. It was really cool. I do gotta say, I went undefeated in cornhole that night. You thought that was a good deal. And so then you got to go play long games, basically do whatever you want, wander around the hotel, went to the sports bar, got some good food there, great burgers. They really did the meat really well on those, and they like ask you how you want it done. Not like a lot of places don't necessarily, but I'd expect something that nice in a hotel like that. And then you go to bed whenever you want, and no underage drinking. Yao made that very clear in the rules. And then day two, wake up in the morning, you got breakfast, and you got the opening ceremony. Same ballroom that they had the ballroom that had that huge crazy lights and the smoke machines and stuff. That's where they had all of the speakers for all of Yao, and then we usually would meet there like three times a day, sometimes two times a day, depending on what the schedule looked like. Second day we get there, and I actually got back a week from today. I'm recording this on Sunday the 15th, got back on the 8th. There's a bit of random piece of information there. Probably should have included that earlier, but whatever, you guys will be fine. So Friday we get there, we do breakfast, and then we listen to some speakers, and then we go to lunch and have like an hour lunch break, and then we listen to some speakers. Okay, let me get this straight. We listen to some speakers, then we broke up and did seminars. This was a really fun part. So I first went to the criminal justice seminar, and I got to meet Hannah Cox that day when she spoke in that seminar. I didn't go up to her then because I knew she was going to be just bombarded with people. So I didn't go up to her then. I wasn't going to be a simp, but I ended up seeing her later. So I went up to her then when she wasn't crazy busy with people, and she was just sitting there waiting for another seminar we happened to be in. But anyways, I went to that one, and then I went to a free speech one, and then we went to lunch, and we actually went to Publix on Friday because we realized how expensive dinner was going to be because y'all said bring $100 for food, and then we were like, $100 would get like three meals, so maybe six if you stretch it out and got the cheapest options available. But so, and that's maybe six. But anyways, so we get back from the Publix that we got an Uber to, me and some buddies, and we get back, and then we get a text from Yao that says, "Congratulations, the rest of the meals are free." So we're like, "Oh crap, okay, really?" After we get back from the store, like it was literally like half an hour after we get back. Immaculate timing, so difficult, but it was better than nothing. And I had some sandwich stuff I could make and crackers to munch on and Nutella smackables for breakfast as well. I was eating good out there since that happened. But we go to some more speakers after lunch, and then we go to some more breakout sessions. I'm trying to remember which ones I went to for the second breakout sessions. I have a hard time recalling. I think that I went to yeah, I'm quite certain that I first went to maybe some sort of campaign one. And then the second one, I was going to go to one about getting a job in the Liberty Movement and like stuff like that. But I decided that I didn't like belong there because I kind of want to just like, I don't want to necessarily like have to move to do what I want to do. I just want to be able to do multiple things how I want to here in Utah. And so while I was in there, I basically was like brainstorming ideas for what kind of things I could do in the movement here in the state. And I came up with some really good ideas. So then I dipped out of there, and then I went and talked to some institutions and talked to some caucuses, talked to some organizations, stuff like that, and kind of like drew a rough outline for my plan. And then I also worked on my prototype constitution for quite some time. And then we had a dinner break. And then we listened to more speakers in the main room. And I believe that it was Friday that we heard Mr. Ron Paul. I started a Ron Paul chant. It was pretty sweet. Ron Paul, Ron Paul, Ron Paul is sweet. And then Ron Paul came out. There's flashing lights everywhere. Smoke machines were going off. Everyone's cheering. It's like a rock concert. We're all, yeah, Ron Paul. Yeah. It was crazy. It was crazy. And I was so starstruck. I like didn't even remember what he said. I was just so stunned to be in his presence because he's such a huge figure for so many people in the Liberty Movement. But Ron Paul was there. We got to hear him speak. It was phenomenal. The energy was great. And I don't think anyone else really matched that energy the whole time. I think there's people that might have even left afterwards. Y'all did us dirty. They did a little bit of a prank on us. So the speaker right before Ron Paul was basically like, "Now, without further ado, we got Ron Paul calling in." And they had like on the screen, it was like, because, well, we listened to Edward Snowden the first night, and that was really cool. Edward Snowden had to call in, obviously. He's not allowed in the United States, so Edward Snowden called in via Moscow. But so anyways, that Friday night, the next night, they're saying this, the speaker right before Ron Paul, I forget who the gentleman was. I believe he gave a really good speech about campaigns and initiative activism, but it'd be hard for me to remember. There's a lot of speakers there. But he said, "Ron Paul now calling in," and they had the screen up. And it was Ron Paul on the screen. He was like, "Hi, young Americans for Liberty, and welcome to Revolution 2021." And then it like glitched out, and then it went black for about 15 seconds, and then the lights started flashing, and everyone started going crazy. As soon as it glitched out, I was like, "Oh, these guys, that was good." Everyone was like all disappointed too, and he came on. Everyone was like, "Oh, what?" It was hilarious. Yao God is good. And they did, and just little stuff like that, like that just keeps the energy high, lets us know that, they got our backs and they're gonna go out of their way to get these people that we want to hear speak to us, especially Ron Paul. It's so important that he was there for our morale. But Yao really got our backs, and they were really just showing us like how much they care about us and how important, us, their little worker bees are to them, and the activism that we do and how important it is. They kept letting us know this is a revolution, this is our revolution. Gosh, they did such a phenomenal job at appealing to the youth. I was really so impressed. Saturday, it's a bit mellowed out. Friday night was probably about as busy as it got with Ron Paul being there. Saturday night, totally mellowed out. A lot less people there on Saturday. We had some speakers throughout some of it. We got off a little bit early that day, had a couple sessions. But honestly, all in all, like there was so many cool speakers that they had there. They had some phenomenal morale boosters, and they were so interactive with the audience, and it was like such good energy. Everyone there was nice. And so like I'm a pretty extroverted person, and I'm not really like ever shy to go up to people I don't know. But when you go to Yao Revolution and you just go, you would go there and you could just walk up to anyone and be like, "Hey, can I sit here? My name's Tyson," or whatever, to anyone. Anyone could go up to anyone, just introduce themselves. And it was like you guys were just on the money, best friends. Everyone there was so nice. It didn't matter if you were there as a libertarian or if you were there as a Republican. Everyone there was so nice. And it was just such a cool, like, feeling of camaraderie. Everyone there was just like, we are all on the same team. We're the leaders of the future generation. So many kids there were going to the school for the same thing as I was, and I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, I'm not unique. And then I was like, wait a minute, like these, I don't have to be unique. Everyone here, like, we're all working towards the same thing. We're like a network of motivated, inspired, just absolutely passionate people. And so I was like, this is so phenomenal to see how many people were just so passionate about it. It was really a great morale booster. One of the things that I found interesting is I did meet, if you guys are familiar with the Boogaloo movement, I did meet Magnus Panyevich, or however you say it, of Michigan. He's kind of like the poster boy for the movement right now since what happened with Mike Dunn happened. I met him there, and he's a mutualist, so I thought that it was kind of weird because it's more of a right unity event, but he's a mutualist, and so he was there, which I found interesting. And then there was other mutualists there because there's this cool app that I didn't end up getting or using until after the event, which I kind of wish I hadn't done that. But there's this app. I'll look it up real quick and I'll figure it out. I guess these guys are getting a free shout out. This app called Whova, and you basically could talk to like everyone in the event that had the app downloaded and like make chat rooms and stuff like that. So I think it was on Saturday, we were sitting at this table, me and some buddies, and many of us libertarians are anarchists at heart. And I think that those that aren't anarchists at heart probably haven't been in the movement very long, because it only takes about 6 months to get there. But we were all anarchists at heart. And so we had this table we were at, and we called it anarchy dialogue table or anarchy discussion table. And the wop, 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 here comes some mutualists, anarcho-socialists, they also call themselves. So there's this one guy there, and I forget what his name was, but we were having like some really interesting discussion. And he was talking about anarcho-socialism, and he was talking about how taxes would be voluntarily paid by people in the community. And people would be like, it was almost like basically like social pressure and forced voluntarism, which I like isn't that horrible. Like, I understand it, and it's one of the ways that you can make anarchy work, I suppose. But as we were talking about this, he gave an example nation to us that he knew about, and then we began talking about. I was thinking, I was like, geez, man, like how, like. Like what other, I'm like thinking about, okay, so I'm a capitalist and I know this, but this is talking about voluntary contributions. And I'm like, okay, what issues do we have here? And I brought up tyranny of the majority, And that was one of the issues that you just couldn't get around in anarcho-socialism, right? It's tyranny of the majority. And the reason I brought that up is because I looked up one of these example nations that he gave me as he was as we were discussing, and alcohol and drugs are illegal there. And I was like, oh, this is tyranny of the majority. Like, this is why we don't like socialism and those aspects. And then, of course, then it really went downhill when we started talking about property rights. And these other mutualists here, oh my gosh. My homie Nico, I met there through a friend who knew a friend. Me and Nico hit it off, spent like 2 days together straight. But we were just discussing with these anarcho-mutualists. And these guys, we were talking about property rights. And we bring up the example of like, hey, so what about, like, okay, I'm trying to remember how this got brought up because we were talking about, they basically were talking about how, like, renters should be able to squat in landlords' renting complexes or houses, even if they stop paying rent, because they live there, so they should be able to squat there without paying the landlord, which I thought was, I'm like, wait, you just pay 1 month of rent and then squat there? Like that makes no economical sense at all. Like, why would anyone want to rent out any properties? And you'd have to be a property owner. Not everyone can buy property right now. And it was just a completely unfeasible situation, especially because these landlords, a lot of them, it's their only source of income. So I found it just appalling and economically illiterate that they would think that such a thing is acceptable. And Nico brought up a story of a family who was either in Arizona or New Mexico, where the grandma, the mom of the family, had died. She was in the hospital, and it was during COVID. And in her inheritance, she left a house to her family, and they hadn't been able to make it out to that house, the family, in about like 6 months to a year, I believe it was. And so when they finally get there, and it's because COVID made it really hard for them to get out there, get out of the house. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Even if they put it off for no reason, it doesn't matter. But they get out there, and there's someone who parked their trailer on the property and hooked it up to the electricity, and they claim squatters' rights, and now these people can't kick them out. So these people just get to live there. And I'm like, well, this is ridiculous. This person didn't earn this property. They just decided to walk up and take it. And these anarcho-mutualists thought that was okay. And this is where the big thing happens between left and right on the even you're when you get libertarian, you get down to the bottom of that compass, that political compass, and you have anarchy. You have left, you have right, and it's property and wealth. That's what we argue on. And that's what drives me crazy, is I'm like, well, if you're a mutualist and you just think that you can take someone's property, and then we begin to ask them, we begin to question it. We're like, okay, so why is that okay? And they're like, well, because they weren't using the property. So, oh, so if you're not using the property, then someone else can come and take it from you. And they were like, yeah. And I was like, well, they were like, well, what about like rental homes? Like, what if I have a rental home out in Florida and I get back and someone's squatting in it? And they're like, well, you're using it as a rental home. And I'm like, oh, but I can't have a home that I rent out to people and use it that way? No. I'm like, oh, so where's the line? And that's the big question that we can never get answered. So where's the line? Where's the clarification of you using that property or not? That doesn't make any sense, right? So what's interesting is I bring up the example of, okay, so if we go out to the woods and we begin chopping down trees, and then we build log cabins, and then I'm out hunting and I get back and someone's in my cabins, do they get to have those cabins? They didn't have an answer for that. They were just like, well, who said you could chop down the trees? And I'm like, well, if that's an issue, then who said that the person could take the house? Like, is this really, like, they're like, did you plant the trees? And I'm like, well, did that squatter build the house? My chainsaw said I could cut down the trees. A patch in the middle of the woods is a lot less used than a property in urban Arizona that has a house on it. Like, so I don't understand how one could make the argument that you can't go and chop down trees in the woods and claim property rights on an area of land that is untouched and uninhabited for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles, literally factually untouched, versus a house that's objectively untouched if you look at it in a limited scope of some sort of reality that's just not there. So this is what I found so interesting, how I just couldn't wrap my head around this mutualism thing. And the biggest problem is because there's no line. There's no line of, okay, when is this considered unused? Not that I would think it was appropriate anyways. I think that, first of all, people should be allowed to be landlords. People should be allowed to not use property for extended lengths of time. One of the mutualists I was talking to had a THC pen. And I said, well, what about that pen right there? It's on the table and you haven't touched it for about 4 or 5 minutes. So if you're not using that, can I claim that as my property? It's just one of the examples of how you can't live in a society that doesn't have property rights, which is totally interesting. All right. That was good to get that mutualist thing off my chest. But again, I want to start wrapping up this topic of Yao Revolution a little bit. Again, they did such a phenomenal job. They appealed to the youth really well. I definitely suggest that people should come next year because, oh my gosh, they just did such a great job. With that being said, we talked about it on our most recent episode, Ending the War on Drugs Part 2, on political dysfunction with Hunter and I. But in October, Free Your Future Fest in Nashville by Students for Liberty. Hunter and I are going to be there. Super pumped to be in Nashville with him. Love getting together with Hunter. He's one of my favorite people in this world right now. Hunter's a really great guy. He's such a great friend in Liberty for me. We hit it off pretty quickly, but especially since he asked me to do this political dysfunction project with him, he said, "Hey, I know you got the podcast. I've got my blog. Let's look at starting a media network." So we've had some great opportunities to work together. We've had some great opportunities to work through problems together, to network together, and I just really had such a great time with doing that with him. Unfortunately, we didn't win. There were some super sophisticated, complex proposals at that competition that we entered. But we're still going to continue political dysfunction, of course. This was just a shot to get some extra funding on an idea that we had. But anyways, Hunter and I will be there at Free Your Future Fest, Students for Liberty. I got both Hunter and I both have passwords for coupons to get you guys in for free. So if you guys want to be there, go ahead and come, and we can figure all that out. So reach out to me if you want to come to Free Your Future Fest in Nashville. It'll be absolutely phenomenal. And then if you decide to join the local coordinator program and you get 3 points and you do a certain amount of task or accomplish a certain amount of things, you can get it paid for. And I'm well on my way to that point. I'm working on accomplishing some tasks right now for the organization. But you have an opportunity to get your travel paid for as well. So that is something I'm just, again, looking forward to a lot. Hopefully it's as great as Revolution. Yeah, I'm gonna wrap that up real quick. That's it. That great job, Yao. Really appreciated all the work that you guys did. The staff, you guys were phenomenal. Absolutely love being there with you. I'm gonna take a drink real quick. All right, that's the body armor. I don't know if you guys ever use those or not. But I stopped drinking soda for these things. One of these body armors, I think it's like 32 ounces. I don't know if it says on the bottle. 28 fluid ounces, has all the vitamins you need for one day, and they taste phenomenal. Super good. Natural flavors, natural sweeteners, natural sugars. Really, really great stuff, actually. And it's phenomenal. It tastes beautiful. So these have completely replaced soda in my diet. I drink like 3 or 4 of these a day almost. And again, one bottle of the 28 ounces has all that you need for vitamins in one day. So super fantastic. Anyways, I wanted to bring up something that I had talked about in a previous episode, and I wanted to, I guess, do some clarification of something that I just really was not aware of the gravity of. So on my Analyzing the Political Compass episode, I talked about how there are certain boundaries about stuff that we just, don't really have in terms of government control and stuff like that. And I mentioned that a government being in the top left corner was very objective. However, I had an opportunity, I listened to, on my way to Yale Revolution, I listened to Joe Rogan, as I often do, because he's got a really good podcast, lots of really cool information he has on there. He has some really smart people on there. He asks the questions we need to ask. We have the conversations we need to ask. But he had Yin, hold on, give me a sec. Yeonhee Park, I'm pretty sure I did that right. Yeonhee Park on the episode, and she had escaped North Korea as a teenager. And as I was listening to this episode that he had with her, it was just, oh my gosh, the way that she would describe how bad it was. They're eating wildflowers and bugs and rats raw sometimes, and the government would control their feces and collect it for fertilizer. She said that she read The Hunger Games, and she thought that the author literally copied North Korea. They have 13 districts, and all the they really care about is the people in the capital, and everyone else is just neglected, left to starve, completely controlled. They had one train station out of the town that people had to push sometimes, but it was so crazy to listen to the experiences that she had, the lack of education, and just the utter control over her life that she had. It was illegal in North Korea for her to wear jeans. You would get sent to a concentration work camp if you were caught wearing jeans, for crying out loud. It's so upsetting and so sad, but it was such an eye-opening episode. So apparently, I thought that it was absurd that there would be a nation that had that much control over its people. And apparently, they have it in North Korea. It was a disgusting episode, but also super interesting. It really made me feel, although I have my complaints about this nation, and I will say this over and over again, I'm so proud to be an American. I'd rather be here than anywhere else. But as I have this Ron Paul quote above me, it says, "Real patriotism is a willingness to challenge the government when it's wrong." And that's what it's about. That's how you know you're a real patriot. You love your country, therefore you hate your government, because you know that our people deserve so much better. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to go ahead and end season 2, episode 9 of Utah Liberty Talk. Go ahead and check out the Patreon for cool discounts and opportunities. Go ahead and like and subscribe to Utah Liberty Talk. Also, here in the next, probably the next episode or the episode after that, I'm going to be doing a giveaway. I'm going to give away 3 Utah Liberty Talk t-shirts for people that like and leave a review on the podcast on Apple Podcasts. That's the best one to get the best algorithms out. That's where the most listeners are. So if you like and leave a rating and a re if you leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, you're automatically going to be entered into a drawing to win a free Utah Liberty Talk t-shirt that you will have sent to you. So go ahead and do that if you want an opportunity to win the shirt. I'll be seeing them all, and I'll put you in a random drawing. We're going to draw 3 people. So that being said, we got that to look forward to, that nice giveaway. Thanks for listening again, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys are having a great time. If you have any questions, want to give me any feedback, want to know how you can get involved here in the state of Utah and help us out, I'd be more than happy to talk with anyone about that. Thanks, y'all, again for listening. This is going to end the episode. Signing off. Thanks, y'all.